So let's pray in His name. Our gracious Lord, may we hear Your word above all things. And may we learn from the only teacher that You have given to us. For truly all things we believe for the Holy Spirit has instructed and revealed Your holy word. So may Your Spirit be present. May Your Spirit guide my words, and may Your Spirit open our hearts to hear Your word and Your word alone. In Christ's name, amen. Back in high school, I used to get a magazine that was an odd little magazine. It was larger than the reader or the TV guide my mother got, and smaller than my dad's Popular Mechanics. It was called Yankee Magazine. Did anyone ever get Yankee Magazine? And I got it for one reason. At the back, there was an old codger named Earl Froh. And he had a column where you could send in pictures of tools and ask what they were for. I'm fascinated by old things that I don't know what they are. I've actually bought at yard sales and at flea markets and antique stores. I'll often buy something for no other reason than I don't know what it is. And they don't know what it is. And I like to explore and think about that. Well, this morning in our text from Matthew, we have basically that going on with the Christian, per se. In the Sermon on the Mount last week, Jesus gave the character of His kingdom citizens when He talked about the Beatitudes as He described His own personality for us. Now in the passage that we have, He basically answers, who are we and what are we to do? By calling us salt and light. Let's look at it in turn. Who we are, our identity, is we are salt. I don't know if you've thought much about salt. We live in a day, and we have for several decades, where salt gets a bad rap. You know, they're salt-free, and you're not to have salt, and people look at you like you're from some cave if you ask for a salt shaker so you can put more salt on. Salt has a bad rap in our day. You know, if you think about it, like one commentator said, salt is more essential than gold. We can live without gold, but we can't live without salt. Salt vitalizes. When your salt goes too low, we get sluggish. We need the energy that comes from salt. Salt gives flavor. I don't know if this is true. I really don't want to experiment, but I was reading in research for the sermon that pretty much vegetables don't have taste unless you put salt, it draws it out. Salt gives flavor. The ancient philosopher Pliny even said that nothing brings greater joy than sunshine and salt. We love salt. Who wants a baked potato with no salt? Salt-free peanuts are useless. Why would you want to eat something without the flavor that salt gives? But more important than all of that, salt in the day of Jesus' time meant power. Salt meant power. The more salt you had, the more power you had, because if you were an army, you needed salt. Because if you didn't have salt, you could only go forth as long as your food would hold out. So the more you could preserve your food so you could go out on longer journeys, the more power you had. So when it says that we are the salt of the earth, He's saying that we as weak, insignificant Christians, that as Paul says in Corinthians, we look around and we don't look like much. There are not many of us powerful and rich in worldly standards. Jesus said that in that genius, you are the salt of society. You're the what preserves the society. I saw that there are over 14,000 known uses for salt. It's one of the few chemicals that everywhere from your table to the pavement in your streets, it's used. Salt is so important. We know that phrase, someone's worth his salt. Have you ever heard of that? And salt is the way people used to get paid because it represents power. You would get paid in salt. And if you weren't worth your salt, you didn't measure up to what you were being paid. In fact, our word salary comes from the word salt. So salt was essential. But even more than the power it represents for people that were steeped in the Old Testament, like the hearers of the original Sermon on the Mount, salt was the way God marked His covenant. If you look in 2 Chronicles 13 and Leviticus 2, we see that salt is a symbol of being a part of the covenant. And that fits with the power, because what gives us the power, the only power we have, is not individually in our strength, but is that we surrender what may be our individual strength to be a part of this larger covenant of grace that we are in. We're people that are God's people. And we may not have much power on our own, but we're connected to the all-powerful one. We may not be much to look at, but our Father is the God of all gods and the Lord of all lords and the King of all kings. So we understand that our identity, who we are children of God. But then the second thing he says, we are light. What do we do? What do we do? Paul tells us in Ephesians 5, at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. You are therefore to walk in the light. As we look at light, light also has two major purposes. Several days ago, a car hit a pole in my neighborhood and the light went out. And I was in darkness. And I learned that when you're in darkness, you stub your toes a lot. When you're walking in without light, you have no guidance to what you see. Okay? I'm glad everyone else heard that as well. But see, the Lord is good. He knew the distraction in my eye wasn't enough. I needed some in my hearing. So let's hurry to the table. Light has two major purposes. It provides guidance for us, like landing lights. It says, avoid this. Head this way. We like the comfort of knowing that we have a light. We like being able to turn the lights on. We don't like walking into a dark house. We don't like maneuvering our way through life without the light. But we have to be submissive to the light. There's a story that I'm going to try to read that I think is very powerful in this. And it tells the story that in the deepest part of the night, a ship's captain cautiously piloted his warship through the fog-shrouded waters. With straining eyes, he scanned the hazy darkness, searching for dangers lurking just out of sight. Then his worst fears were realized when he saw a bright light straight ahead. It appeared to be a vessel on a collision course with his ship. To avert disaster, he quickly radioed the oncoming vessel. "This is Captain Jeremiah Smith," his voice crackled over the radio. "Please alter your course 10 degrees south. Over." To the captain's amazement, the foggy image did not move. Instead, he heard back on the radio, "Captain Smith, this is Private Thomas Johnson. Please alter your course 10 degrees north. Over." Appalled at the audacity of the message, the captain shouted back over the radio, "Private Johnson, this is Captain Smith, and I order you to immediately alter your course 10 degrees south. Over." A second time, the oncoming light did not budge. "With all due respect, Captain Smith," came the private's voice again, "I order you to alter your course immediately 10 degrees north. Over." Angered and frustrated that this impudent sailor would endanger the lives of his men and crew, the captain growled back over the radio, "Private Johnson, I can have you court-martialed for this. For the last time, I command you on the authority of the United States government to alter your course 10 degrees to the south. I am a battleship." The private's final transmission was chilling. "Captain Smith, sir, once again, with all due respect, I command you to alter your course 10 degrees to the north. I am a lighthouse." Brothers and sisters, see, we like the light. But sometimes we forget that our lights need to adjust to the one light that's immovable. See, the world, and especially God, doesn't bend to our light. We have to submit and adjust to His light. And the one lighthouse that we have, the one light that's the light above all lights, the one light that we can't toy with nor dismiss, is the light of the gospel found in the Word of God, Jesus Christ. It is our light. And we must submit everything to it. It provides our guidance. But it also provides perspective. Because it not only enables us to see Christ, but by seeing Christ, that light enables us to see all other things. We talked about that in Sunday school. When we walk as children of God, submitting to His light, it's like we put on Jesus-colored glasses. That everything we see, we interpret through Christ. So things that we would, in the natural man, consider horrific, like death, now becomes the doorway to eternity. Or like sickness, now becomes an opportunity where we can grow in dependence upon the Lord. Where losing a job now becomes an opportunity not for panic, but to see how Christ will display His glory again. Where people gossiping against us no longer becomes a way in which we must retaliate. Now we can see it as a way that we find our identity only in Christ. See, what we are is the salt, children of God. But who we are is the light. And like mirrors that are reflected on Christ alone, we can let our light so shine that men would see our good works and glorify our Father, the source of all life above all things. Amen.
Let us stand and confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. You can find it at 881 if you need. This is that which we believe as the Christian Church. So together with one voice, with one mind, brothers and sisters, let us confess together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary,
suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day He rose from the dead, He ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated.
Join me in the perfect prayer. The Lord be with you.
And also with you. We lift them up to the Lord.
We give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Empowering God with the water of creation, like the water garden, and when your people folks flowing rivers, you answer their call, and remove the yoke from among them. You guide them continually and satisfy their needs in the heart's place. In the death and resurrection of Christ, your spirit reached between us and you, and opened the way of peace for all your people. And so we gladly thank you, angels and archangels, and all the company of heaven, singing the hymn of your unending praise.
Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest.
Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, reckoning God, what you have prepared for those who love you. In Jesus, you are the salt that preserves us with you forever, and you are the light that transforms the darkness of death. On his last evening with the disciples, your Son took the broken body and spilled blood of the cross and turned them into the glory of your resurrection. Come among us now and turn the brokenness of our lives and the splitness of your world into the wonder of your new life. Take these gifts of bread and wine and make them for us the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ,
who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
After supper, he took the cup, and again he gave you thanks, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For great is the mystery of faith.
And you sent us the Spirit who searches the depths of your heart and the depths of ours. Shape your people in the image of your Son to be repairers of the breach. Send us to be beside those who cry among any who are afflicted, alongside all whose foundations lie in ruin. Watch your church that may bear the mark of its risen and ascended Lord. Raise up saints to embody your truth in our midst. Loose the bonds of injustice and do the songs of the yoke, and let the oppressed go free. Until the day when you are all in all, one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. The gift of God for the people of God, thanks be to God. Brothers and sisters, you can see that little change here, given that I don't know what it is, I wanted Jen to handle the bread. But we offer this to you, the body of Christ, his very body, the blood of Christ, shed for you on the cross. Come and taste and see that he is good. We practice fine patience. You'll come and place it into the chalice and come to one of these kneeling benches for prayer. Betsy will be over at the corner. If you'd like to have a special prayer with someone, this is the Lord's table. So we invite all those who love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in sincerity and truth to come. It's open to all. But we all come to taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen.